for there is a word from the Lord. Amen. This morning, let me draw your attention to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. Amen. We'll be reading this morning from the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. When you have it, say amen. You need to glance up. Amen. It should be up. Amen. And, amen. Amen. I believe it's what you're building on this year, your foundation this year. And the Word of God reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Pray with me for a little while from the subject, amen, priority. And then there's a subtopic that I need to add in that says, "Will you?" Amen. Hey, Father God, we thank you right now. We bless and we praise your holy name. God, you're good and you're worthy to be praised. Thank you for your presence here right now, God. Thank you for the anointing that's flowing right now. God, we bless and praise your name, God. Father God, have your way, Father God, in me and in your house, God. God, we thank you, God, that we're enabled to stand, God, because of you, God. So, Father God, would you speak, Lord, for your servant listens. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the saints of God said, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Enabled by the Holy Spirit, amen. We pray that... Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless. Give the music ministry here also a hand and a round of applause. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Enabled by the Holy Spirit, I want to offer an introduction that I believe will draw you or command your attention toward this text. Amen. And then we want to offer some background and work our way to 6 and 33, which I believe and others will say that it is known as the centerpiece, amen, of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Amen. And when we get there, we want to make sure we're on the same page about the meaning of what it means to seek. Amen. And then we want to look at the two things that he said for us to seek, right? His kingdom and his righteousness. Then we'll offer a closing summation around the question, will you? Amen. Then we'll extend the opportunity for you to become a member of this body of believers, the Lord's house, a part of the Lord's family. Amen. And then we will move on to enjoy more of this awesome day that the Lord has made. And you'll be praying for us, I pray, while we make our way back to the big city of Rockdale, Texas. My wife is new to Rockdale, and she often hear me say something about the big city, and she's like, "Where?" I say, "It's coming." She's like, "Okay." Amen. So let me move on. I pray and trust and believe you will be blessed. Amen. Let me go to work. What is our priority? What is your priority? I believe we all know the right answer. I believe we were to ask any believers, what's your priority? I believe they would just let it roll off their lips, the right things. But I wonder if our response could be measured through demonstrated actions. Would it match what our lips have declared? If my heart was the answer, would it be a dispute with what my heart says and what my mouth has uttered? While you're thinking about that, and I want to lay something else on your mind regarding priorities. When you think about priorities, it seems like a lot of Christians, you have to ask yourself, say, well, are they more eager to go to a tailgate party or come and tarry in the church? We will arrive early, hours early at the game and lay out the spread at the game and have a good time, amen. We'll put something on the grill and open up the ice chest, amen, and get a bottle of water.
and we'll have a good time. But how often do we come to the house of the Lord early and just say, I want to tarry in prayer. I want to meet the Lord here before worship starts. I don't know. I'm just wondering, have we got our priorities mixed up? I've been sent on an assignment, amen, to speak to those who are rolling, amen, and claiming that, hey, I am a child of God. I'm a part of the household of faith, but I'm wondering about your priorities. Let me ask you, amen, would you choose, amen, a seat, a front row seat in Bible study over a front row seat at the Spurs game? I'm concerned today that too many Christians, amen, have accepted the world's version of their own that they made up. Sometimes we make up our own definition of righteousness. And I'm concerned, amen, that we've made up our own thing, and perhaps that explains, amen, our misplaced priorities. Well, let me offer some background before I hold you too long. Come on, go with me. I always want you to get to the scene, so come on and go with me. Amen. You got your hiking shoes on because we're about to journey up a hillside in northern Israel, amen, near the lake of Gennesareth and Capernaum, amen, where God the Father had created this amphitheater for his son, amen. Amen. When he spoke into existence the world and told the mountains to push up into place, amen, he knew that his son had a destination on a hillside to deliver a message. Amen. Somebody, I thought somebody would shout, but that went over your head. So let me stop and explain. Amen. Jesus did not have to roll out a sound truck, amen, with a whole sound system. Amen. His father already had it set up. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? All you got to do is get to the place. God's already set it up for you. You just got to get there. He just had to get to the place. I better move on. Amen. I'm going to run up out of here myself, amen. I believe, amen, that this place, amen, that I'm talking about is the place where Jesus gives his Sermon on the Mount. He shares with his believers that, look, like, I need y'all to understand some things, amen. I need y'all to understand who's going to be blessed. Because sometimes we will discount folks and say they don't deserve a blessing. But Jesus said, look, let me tell you something about who's going to be blessed. Let me talk to you about my priorities. Let me talk to you about purpose. And I hope you keep your Bibles open to walk through with me. And when you get a chance, go back and read the sermon again. Because the whole thing, Jesus is preaching about his kingdom, his righteousness, his priorities, and his purpose. He offers an explanation. So I still hope you have your Bibles open. I'm going back to chapter 5, amen, and take a look where Jesus sees this huge crowd. Sister Tony, so he said, look, I better get to the amphitheater that my father's already got set up for me, amen. So he makes his way up and he sits down there at the hillside. And his disciples gather around him, and he begins with what we are know as the Beatitudes, right? It's a series of blessings, amen, that he offers that, look, these are some blessings. These are future rewards that's coming based upon certain characteristics. He lays them out and say, I still have something in store for you. I don't know about you, amen, but I'm glad to know, amen. Somewhere in that list, I find some things that I've been through, amen. Well, it's blessed are those who mourn, amen. Blessed are those who hunger after. I've been through there. I'm waiting, amen. I know I'm on the list to be blessed. If you know you're on the list to be blessed, you ought to shout hallelujah right now. Jesus goes on to tell them, hey, while you're here on earth, I need you to be the salt of the earth. He's explaining his purpose, amen. You feeling it right now? I need you to be the flavor, amen, of my Father's flavor, amen. And let everybody know he's real, amen. And he's able to hold you. He's able to keep you, amen. But he warned, don't become useless. Too many people in the church start out, amen, preserving, amen, but then they get crossed, amen. And he tells them, he warns them, look, don't forget your purpose. Don't become useless. Don't lose your savor. He goes on and said, look, I need you here to be a light, amen, here on earth, amen. But I want to make sure that don't just because I have made you a light, you don't have the authority to position the light. Who goes now and hides a light under a basket that has been woven by worldliness and the lust and the desires of the flesh? Look, I made you a light, but don't hide the light. Stay with me on the hillside. I stay with me on the hillside. Look, he said, look, now murder and all that lust, amen, that kind of lust that leads to sexual sin, such as adultery, it doesn't begin on the internet, amen. It doesn't begin on Facebook. It doesn't begin. It begins in your heart, amen. He's trying to let them know, amen, something you got to get this right with God, amen. He says, look, the master in his sermon, he's preaching now. I'm talking about Jesus, not me, amen. He's preaching, and in his sermon, he includes the subject of divorce. He says, look, don't tell somebody something if you don't mean it. Oh, I may need to stay there a while, but I can't stay too long, amen. But too many people say, I will, but they don't, amen. Oh, I hope you get that, amen. He teaches and goes. He said, look, I need you to go the second mile with somebody and don't take no revenge, amen. But we struggle, amen, because we're still holding on to what they did to us 30 years ago, and we're trying to figure out how can we get them back, amen. He said, well, go the extra mile for those. And then he's preaching now. Jesus is preaching. He said, love your enemies. You don't know what they did to me. He said, love them. But he showed his love on Calvary's cross. After they had beat him, nailed him, he said, I still love them. Amen. Oh, the sermon continues there on in chapter 6. Jesus is preaching now. Amen. He said, give to the needy. Amen. And he talks to them about fasting and praying. And then he moves his preaching to something that we love, right? He starts preaching about money and possession, amen. Anybody don't like money, amen? Watch out, watch out. Y'all don't have to be ashamed to raise your hand. Ain't nobody in here want to be broke and broke down, right? And you don't want coin rattling in your pocket, amen? Go on and say amen, Lord have mercy. Hey, look, look, he started preaching about money. And Jesus said, look, don't stockpile your treasures, amen. Don't put your money in the wrong stockpile, amen. Don't put it in the wrong place, amen. Too many of us are taking what God has blessed us with and we're putting it in the wrong place, amen. If you're not bringing it into the storehouse of God, oh Lord have mercy, you're putting it in the wrong place, amen. And the place you're putting it is subject to some destruction, amen. He said, look, the moth's gonna heat it up, rust's gonna take it, or it's gonna be taken by thieves, amen. Amen. Watch where you're putting your possession. It's only one safe place, and that is in the hand of God. I'm at 6 and 24, amen, where he tells his followers, look, you cannot serve two gods. If you had a second service a day, I'd have to preach about, amen, the two gods that you're worshiping. But I can't do it today. I got to get back to Rockdale, Texas, amen. But he said, look, don't be careful that you're not serving two gods. You cannot worship money and God, amen. I'll only be the only one. I'm not sharing my spotlight with anything, amen. But I am going to be the God. Jesus shift, amen, from sharing about money. He's preaching on a hillside, and y'all not shouting, amen. Jesus is preaching. He moves now. He talks about anxieties, right, and worries. I can't help but wonder, Pastor Love, about worrying, right? How many sleepless nights are people going through right now, amen? Amen. How much weight gain or weight loss? It affects everybody differently. I wish I was on the weight loss side of it, amen, but I'm not, amen. It affects everybody a little different, amen. Sometimes you lose weight, sometimes you gain weight, amen, all because of worry and stress. Oh, we find ourselves on so many prescriptions, amen. Every time you turn around, a new medication is coming out for anxiety, right, stress, amen. And so we got prescription drugs, and then we got some, y'all don't have none in here. You got some non-prescription drug, and you're justified and say, I just got to have a little hit, amen, because I'm stressed out, amen. Y'all ain't got to say amen about it, amen, but he talks about it. He said, look, don't start justifying your cravings of the flesh, trying to satisfy your anxiety. He said, look, that's not the right way to do it. I'm concerned today. I'm concerned because I was watching the clip. I was kind of skimming through some stuff, amen. And I saw a little clip, amen, where a lady FaceTimed her husband, and she tells him, and she's crying, and she's huffing. And I grew up in the country, too. One of them snot-nosed crying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's crying and huffing, amen. And her husband's on the other end saying, what's wrong? And she can't hardly get it out. He's saying, what's the matter? I'm concerned. You're crying so hard. What's the matter? She said, My the lady that I get my beautician, he said, yeah, she's pregnant. Yeah, I know. What happened? Are you all right? She had a baby. Yeah, is the baby all right? Yes, the baby is fine. And he said, well, is the mother all right? Did she got any issues, everything? She said, she's fine. He said, then what in the world's wrong? And she said, I'm crying because I don't know who's going to do my hair. Anxiety, amen. We're stressing out about some of everything, amen. I'm concerned, amen, that too many saints have begun to fashion themselves like non-believers. I'm concerned that we are wrapping ourselves in worldly things. I'm concerned that we are stressed out trying to find comfort and seek comfort and some form of comfort through the ways of the world. The world will teach you that you can find some comfort in being your possession and having money, having a title, and having fortune and fame, amen. But you can ask those people who have those things, and they will tell you that that's not it. That's not it. Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry, amen. Don't overload your mind about tomorrow, amen. I'm reminded of a sister that we have there in church who is laid up in a facility right now, and she cannot move one side of her body. And when you talk to her and she tells her story, she says, look, I know that I stressed myself into a stroke. I worried myself into a stroke. And because I couldn't figure out how I was going to meet some financial obligation. And now I can't do them. And now look where he's got. Don't worry about those things. Oh, Jesus is preaching, but we made it to our text, and somebody's saying, thank the Lord. I was wondering when we were going to get there. Don't worry, amen, about what you're going to wear. He tells them, look, the poor, the needy are going to be there. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. The text now, we move into that, which is that centerpiece, amen, where Jesus has been preaching. He says now he begins to summarize what he has said regarding purpose, plan, priority. Yeah, he said, look, I know you're thinking, well, how in the world can I not worry about some things? How is it that I can just go to sleep, put my head on the pillow and go to sleep about some things when I don't even know how I'm going to eat? I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot, amen, where you didn't know what you were going to eat. I don't know if you've ever been there where you've got to go pick up cans just to get a two-piece of church's chicken. He says, look, and you're wondering, how can I not worry about that when you have lost your home and you don't know where you're going to stay? How can I not worry? And Jesus said, look, here is the answer. He says, look, here's the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. He said, look, it's important that we understand what does it mean to seek first. Amen. Make that your desire. Make that your priority. Put everything else aside and say, I don't care about how it's going to work out because I know God's going to work it out. Amen. Anybody going through something right now that you cannot figure out, but you know in your mind that God has already made a way. He's already worked it out. He said, look, seek ye first that. Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I got to tell you something. His righteousness will require total surrender. Yes, sir. We got a lot of people in the church, amen, that have surrendered some but not surrendered all. And I'm telling you, you cannot halfway seek God. You've got to let him have your all. Somebody say, I still don't understand. Anybody in here want a half a paycheck? I didn't think so, amen. Anybody in here want a half a car or a half a house, right? No, you don't want that, right? So you got to learn to give God your all, amen. Lay it all on the line. Seek ye first, amen, the kingdom of God, amen. I was listening to the late G. Patterson preaching, and he listed a term called diabolical fad. A diabolical fad. It's where a caterpillar, amen, does not completely transforms. So half of him, he used a caterpillar example, amen. He said, look, half of the caterpillar is still a caterpillar, and half of it is a butterfly. Which means that there's a point where it wants to crawl on the ground at the same time. There's something on the inside that said, I want to fly, amen. And he's constantly making up his mind, which one can I do? And can't do either one of them. Because you've got to learn that you've got to have total surrender when it comes down to seeking ye first the kingdom of God. First thing first. Dr. Tony Evans, in his commentary, talks about, gives an illustration on first thing first. He said, look, you can run, you can hit a home run, and you can go and miss first base, hit second, third, and home plate, and still be tagged out because you didn't do first things first. If you miss first base, amen, I don't care what else is going on, you're going to miss out. And I don't want you to be tagged out as when you come to the gate, amen, and stand before God. I don't want you tagged out, amen. Set your mind on the kingdom and kingdom agenda. First thing first, you must be born again. You got to be born again. And I challenge people a lot of times. Are you sure? I mean, don't be embarrassed, but take a look at yourself. Look at your action. Look at what's going on. Is there a burning desire? Are you sure that you've got your life right with the Lord? And some of them still are looking like a deer in the headlight, but while they're shouting in church, I said, look, the question is, if he called your name today, are you assured that you will be at home with him? And then to hear people say, I don't know, I'm saying, get right with him. Seek ye first the first things, amen. You must be born again. Then you got to set your mind on kingdom agenda. You got to fulfill the assignments, amen. He compels us to be a witness for him, amen. You got to quit telling everybody about what you're doing, amen. What's going on in your life, amen. Tell them how good God is and say, if you want to know how good he is, just look at how he's blessing me, amen. But you better quit acknowledging I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, amen. Because if you're not careful, you're going to lose your boots. Yeah, you better set your mind on kingdom agenda, amen. We must make it a priority. Not only are we to seek his kingdom, but we've got to seek his righteousness. His righteousness. Well, in order to get to his righteousness, you got to let your righteousness go. You say, I've wrote my own book, my own chapter, my own book regarding righteousness. I know what it is from my perspective, but do you know what his righteousness is? He's been preaching about it for two chapters, amen. His righteousness, amen. And when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Yours or his? Amen. Paul reminds the church in Rome when he writes them a letter that he tells them, don't be ignorant like other non-believers, amen, about God's righteousness. And you're going around to establish your own righteousness, amen, and you have not submitted to the righteousness of God. He writes them and warns them, and I'm warning you again today. You better make sure that it's God's righteousness. You better quit following your own righteousness. You don't have a heaven, but amen, there's a hell waiting. I thought I'd let somebody know that, amen, just in case you still write in your own book. We must make God and his kingdom, amen, our priority. We must understand our purpose, amen. I'm about ready to go home, amen. God said, look, when you do those things, amen, when you make his word and his agenda a priority in your life. When you say, I'm going to trust in the Lord, I'm going to seek his way, I'm going to seek his plan. When you get it right with God, amen, and when you're pursuing his righteousness, when you know you've been born again, when you know you've been blessed, when you know that things are working for the will and then the purpose and the plan of God, when you know that you are there, amen, then the Bible tells us that God assures us with a promise, amen. He said, look, all those other things, amen, I thought I'd have some witness that got some other things on your list, amen. Anybody got any other things on their list, amen? I've got some other things on my list, amen. I got a knee that won't act like it won't act right, but I put it on my other things list, amen. I've got some desires, amen, some things I want to do, some relationships that need to be healed. I've got a list of other things, amen. I'm wondering about some things, or I got my list. I need to know, is there anybody out there that's got a list of other things? Well, the Bible says if we get it right with God, then all these other things, amen. I thought I'd have some shouters in the house that said I got some other things, but I know God's got my other things. I don't have to worry about them about tomorrow, because God's got my other things, and he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I've got a list of some other things, amen, but I thank God that he's got them. He's got them, and he will take care of them, amen. But the big question is, will you submit to God? Will you let go of your own righteousness? Will you lay down your own thoughts, amen? Will you lay down your own plan? Will you let go and let God? Will you trust him in the midst of your storm? Will you give him your all? Will you surrender to him? Will you lay it all on the line? Will you walk in the will and the way and the purpose of God? Will you tell him thank you for being a way maker? Will you bless his name even though you're down to your last dime? Will you trust him in all things, knowing no matter what the doctor said, what the lawyer said, I will trust in the Lord. He will make a way out of no way. He will see me through. I'm glad that I've sought the Lord, and he heard my cry and answered my plea. He will. But the question is, will you, don't play with me now, will you? I need somebody to say, I'm willing to lay it all on the altar. I'm willing to surrender my all unto the Lord. I'm willing to make his will a priority in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added. But will you? It doesn't matter how long you've been in church, but will you? Pastor Love, if it's all right with you, I'm led to amen. Because there may be some folks that want to say yes to the question of will you. If that's you this morning, I invite you to come. I invite you to come, because maybe you have been just giving him some and he said, I need it all. And you will come and declare that I will. I want to pray for you if you just say, I will. I want to ask God to do something amazing in your life if you just say, I will. He wants you to be a witness, but he's saying, will you say, I will?
This is where the enemy always says they will be too ashamed to move. Because someone who doesn't know the Lord is sitting in this place. And they're looking to see, will the saints say, I will? Somebody is watching you. And they want to know, will you say, I will? I will surrender my all. I will lay it all on the altar. Will you say, I will? There may be some who don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sin, and we invite you to come. That's the first thing. You may be saying, look, I want to be a part of this body of believers. We invite you to come. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God, some sisters have come bravely and boldly to say, yes, I will. Yes, I will. I don't care who's watching, who's looking. They have declared that I will. God, I don't know what their needs are, but you've already provided them. Hallelujah. I don't know what they're going through, but you've already offered and provided a resolve. Hallelujah. In addition to that, God, would you bless them in a special way that everybody around them will say, what happened? How did you do it? And they would declare it was God's grace and God's mercy, his favor and his love on my life. Father God, bless them. In Jesus' name. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We will give you the glory. We expect to see the witness, hear the witness and the testimony of what you have done in their lives. Because they came. And now, Lord, those who did not come, God, that know they should have, God, would you continue to stir them? Shake their bed, shake their soul, God, and let them know, God, they've got to make you their priority. They've got to understand the purpose that you have called them to. Your kingdom and your righteousness. It is in the name of Jesus we pray, and the saints of God said, amen. Go, sister, in Jesus' name. Bless you 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 in Jesus' name. Bless you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.